And they said, "Where did this man get all this? What is the wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands?" Y'all, I have to be honest, this is the kind of reaction that I generally have after watching David Blaine or some of those magicians that are on America's Got Talent pull off a really cool and unbelievable trick. Like, how did this happen? How did he do this? What is going on? I have to imagine that's what people were saying as they walked away from Jesus in the synagogue, and I can't really blame them. After all, the kinds of healings and miracles that Jesus had been performing probably did seem magical and impossible. Just last week, we heard of how Jesus healed one woman and raised another from the dead, which just seems unbelievable. And so in their unbelief and shock, the people pushed back, and Jesus found that there was very little he could do in their town. If you think about it, the townspeople's shock and resistance, however, isn't that surprising. Friends, we don't like to be pushed. We don't like to feel forced into anything, and especially if it comes to our beliefs. We dislike being thrust into situations that are unexpected or that we didn't choose. The folks at the synagogue didn't choose to have Jesus come into their town and begin preaching. Quite frankly, they didn't choose to learn something new that day. And I can relate to that. I bet most of us can. When I was in third grade, I began taking piano lessons. And it was fun, and I enjoyed it. And over the 11 years that I took lessons, I became fairly skilled at playing. But the one style of music that I was never willing to learn were hymns, which, given my current profession, is ironic, I realize. But my teacher would assign me hymns to play over and over again, and I would refuse to practice them. I'd run through all the other pieces, but I would skip the hymns. So soon, my teacher started saying that I could pick which hymns I would learn, hoping, I think, that if I could just pick them myself, maybe I would be more willing to practice. But I was stubborn, and I found the hymns boring to play, and I believed that there were much better and more interesting piano pieces out there that I would rather have played instead. Would I have benefited from learning to play those hymns? Yeah, and that's something that I acknowledge now. But at the time, like the people in the synagogue in today's story, I wasn't ready, or perhaps even able, to acknowledge or understand why the teacher was someone that I should listen to. In your life, perhaps you've reacted this way when getting advice from a colleague that you just never asked for. Or maybe someone made a comment about how you should be raising or parenting your child, and you, tired and worn from all the caring and loving that you've been giving to your kid, were just like, "Nope, I don't want to hear that." Whatever it is, we've all resisted. You and I don't like to be pushed. Beloved, God is persistent. God perseveres. God stands strong. And if we're looking for an example of something or someone who shows us even the tiniest sliver of what God's level of persistence is, I would tell you to look at a dog or a puppy. Now bear with me for a moment, but really, dogs, because boy, are they persistent. I grew up with a yellow lab, and when she wanted to play fetch, well, good luck trying to do anything else. She'd put the ball in front of your feet, tail wagging, and wait. And she'd look at you, and look at the ball, and look at you, and look at the ball, until finally, someone would pick it up and play with her. And if you walked away without throwing it, she'd just pick the ball up and follow you wherever you walked off to next. She was also persistent at trying to get snuggles when we rode in the car. She and I would share the back seat in the family minivan, and throughout the duration of a drive, she would scoot closer and closer and closer until I was about to fall off the seat. And when she couldn't scoot any closer, then she'd lay her head on my leg and snuggle up as close as possible, even if I tried to push her drooling face off of me. Beloved, God has this level of persistence too, constantly offering us love and affection, constantly trying to get closer to us. Today's gospel reading shows us this persistence well. The people in the synagogue took offense at Jesus' teachings. He could do few deeds of power there. And he tells his disciples that they may not always find themselves welcomed into a new town or a new place, and yet they are to keep trying, keep traveling, keep sharing God's power and love. When it comes to Jesus and the message he brings, people are so resistant that they eventually have him hung on a cross. And yet still, even in that last moment of life, Jesus says that they are forgiven, that we are forgiven every time. Again and again, God reaches out to you and to me. Again and again, God says, "You are mine, and there is nothing that you can do to separate yourself from me." Again and again, God is faithful, standing firm in the covenant to heal us and renew us and sustain us. And like humanity's best friend, God does not give up. Not on the world, not on creation, not on society. God does not give up. God does not give up on you. God persists. Siblings in Christ, we are invited to follow. We are invited to walk in God's ways. We are invited to embrace this journey of faith. One way to think about what it means for you and me to follow, as Nadia Bowles Weber says, is to dabble in compassion. See, as I'm sure you well know, people aren't always going to like or want to listen to what we say. People aren't always going to be receptive to the word and to the faith that we share with them. People aren't always going to welcome us in or even offer us kindness. But we are still invited to shower them with compassion. In the gospel today, both Jesus and John the Baptist show compassion to those who hate them or don't listen to them or don't welcome them in. They shower others with compassion, even to the point of death. The disciples in today's reading also offer compassion. They show compassion in that they do not ridicule or despise those who do not welcome them in, but rather they simply shake the dust from their sandals and let it be and move on. So how can you shower the world with compassion? What little actions allow you to walk in God's way of love? Can you befriend those with whom you disagree? Can you offer kindness to those who would rather ignore you? Can you pray with and for those who might speak ill of you? How might you dabble in compassion today and every day? Not because it is easy or without its risks, but because you are invited to follow God's way, the way of compassion and love. Children of God, too often our days leave us feeling cornered or pushed into places and mindsets and ways of being that we would not choose for ourselves. And we want to push back and resist. But even in the cornered places, God is with you. God is persistent. God continues to be at work and showers you with compassion, filling you with love and hope so that you might offer that same compassion to others. May you feel the compassionate persistence of God in the world today and every day. Amen.